reverent of that, and understand that God can move at any moment, any time. We'll just open up and let Him into our hearts. And I'm just thankful for that grace. Man, we'd be lost. Truly is amazing grace, isn't it? We'd be lost without it. You know, I love seeing how people's lives are changed by it. I love it. And when you see a life change and what you used to be and what you are now because of God, it's just nothing more rewarding than that. All right. I didn't think we had no children at first, but they have kind of filled in. So if you are a child or think like one and want to go with Mr. Randy, you can at this time. You can learn a lot from Randy. That's for sure. He's a good teacher. We've got a great combo here. See, Randy's a teacher and I'm a preacher. There's a big difference. So we got both. I think it's awesome. People ask me a lot, do people want to visit the church? Or they'll ask me, you know, sometimes about the style. I say, well, are you more of a preacher or a teacher? And I'm real quick to say, and I used to, you know, think, well, you know, yeah, I can teach. But then I thought, you know, I'm a preacher. And there is a difference. I mean, and y'all know that. I mean, I guess I could, I mean, I can teach. It's not that I can't teach, but it's not really my calling. Randy's calling is to teach. He's incredible at that. Absolutely wonderful. I'm a preacher. That's what I am. So, people ask you what kind of preacher you got. Well, he's a preacher. That's what I do. So, and I'm thankful for that. I'll try to be steady and guide the ship, and before I know it, the preacher button hits and it just comes out. I'm not putting that on. It just happens because what God called me to do. So I am thankful for that. I did spell the word differently, right? Does that spell correctly? We were both wrong, weren't we? Well, I got help, and I won't call no names, but I got help, so we both missed it. I thought it had to have an E, but then I thought, well, that don't look right. So anyway, see, I'm not a teacher. Randy would have got that word right. Live differently. Turn to Ephesians 4, we talk about how to live differently, and how that, and in case you didn't notice when you came in, we have a baptism sheet on the table for our annual 2015 baptism. Right now, I've got the date set as September 27th, the last Sunday evening in September at the YMCA. If that changes, I'll let you know. I think that's going to be okay. But got a sign-up sheet. So if you want to be baptized this year, we've had a lot of new people in the past year, a lot of church change. And it's just a great time to do that and be baptized and just wash all the stuff away. And, you know, if you've been baptized before, that's okay. I understand baptism is, you know, recognizing Jesus, your Lord and Savior, for all that. But there are times that you might want to be, re-cleaned or refueled or recharged, and so we're offering that. So if you want to be baptized, just sign up. So we'll kind of get know how to plan our service that evening, how many we got and stuff. We get the Y for an hour normally, and it's always a very moving, wonderful service. So make plans for that, and hopefully we'll get some people to. I'm sure there'll be several that'll sign up this year. I don't know. I feel now that I say this, you know, but I feel it's going to be a good year for that. I just feel God's will really do something special and really help some people this year. So, Ephesians 4, live differently. Paul was talking this chapter about sin. And, you know, we seem to, of course, see more and more sin and more sins being endorsed, more and more sins being legalized, more and more sins being, you know, accepted. But does it make it right? And God has called us to live differently in the world. Now, we can't live differently, church, unless we're really born again. I'm a true believer of that. We can't be what we're not. And until that seed of God's planted in you, you can't produce anything different. And so, but for us as Christians, we should be different. Our lives should look different. Our light should be different. Our face should look different. Our words should sound different. Everything should be different. And that's a good thing. We are God's people. There's supposed to be a noticeable difference in the world and in God's people. There ought to be a difference. And you know what? When you're really saved, when you're really born again, you don't have to go around telling everybody that. You live your life, and they'll see that in you. They'll see that. I mean, they'll see the nature of you. They'll see the love. They'll notice you don't talk dirty like them, and you don't do things like them, and you don't go places they go, and you don't have to tell them why, but they'll know something's different. What is it? And you say, well, I'm a Christian. And we're supposed to be. And the Holy Spirit's work is to produce that change in our lives if we would let it. We're all born with a sin nature. We know that. And we fight that all of our lives. I don't care how saved we are, we fight that sin nature. That's why you see a lot of seasoned Christians have major falls in their life, major slip-ups, get into a really bad season. And it's not that they're, you know, less saved. It's just the sin nature is always working against us. Because no matter how glorified we are in God, we're not going to be fully glorified until the redemption of our bodies. We're still in this realm. And so we have temptation. We're all fighting against it. You know, we're fighting against what, you know, we see on the news and all the, political stuff and the culture that we're in. And, you know, we're seeing more and more of that being mounted and mounted and mounted upon us. More violence, more hate, more division, more prejudice. You know, always somebody trying to stir the pot to keep things boiling. And so we're seeing that. If we're not careful, we can slip right down that slope and be just like the world. Don't think you're so strong that I would never do that. I would never do that. I would never say that. I would never go there. You don't know what you would do if the devil gets in you enough. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen some devil and some of God. I've seen some shouting Pentecostals shouting like the devil at the same time. I mean, it don't matter. The devil can be in us. And so we got, you know, not, you know, possession, but oppression. And we can have that demonic or that devil influence in our lives if we're not careful. So we have to really understand the Holy Spirit. I've got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling me. See, I'm a true believer what Jesus, what God said in his word, that he chastises those he loves. Chastises. That means he convicts. It means he stirs up something in our life that's not right. He begins to make us think about that thing and say, you know, well, it's like I say all the time. And I was talking to someone today with that's what I talk about all the time. When someone comes and asks me, hey, I'm kind of doing this, but I feel bad, but, you know, what do you think? Well, that, boom, 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 your answer. You know. And so instead of trying to get validation for it, let the Holy Spirit correct it. Just let the Holy Spirit correct it. Say, God, this is a stumbling block. See, I'm not a preacher that believes everything we do throws us to hell, but I do believe that sin can be a major stumbling block in our walk with God. And if that stumbling block's there, it's affecting our spiritual growth and walk, and it's affecting those we're supposed to reach. So the block's got to be out of the way. It's like our golden retriever. He's the scaredest dog in the world. I mean, he is a... Remember that cartoon? Let's see, I don't know. My age group wouldn't know that. I had kids my age. The cartoon Curs and the Cowardly Dog. Curs the Cowardly Dog. Y'all remember that? This old man and woman had this dog, and he was scared of everything. Ooh, he was scared of everything. He lived out in the middle of, like, nowhere, and he saw stuff and shadows. And, you know, our golden retriever, if I brought him on this stage right now, And Amanda had a bone right there on the altar. Come here, Hunter. Come here. That Kleenex box, he'd be scared to go by it. He'd be going. That box, he's scared of the Kleenex box. It's a stumbling block. So he doesn't get his bone. He wants it. He's wagging that tail. He's saying, come to me, Amanda, because I can't come to you. We can't get to God where we want when that stumbling block's in our way. And so sin is a stumbling block that affects our path and our walk with God. And it drains us if we're not careful. So look what Paul says in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That word vanity means useless or worthless. You know, what they're doing produces nothing. And we know that. We've all been on the path of sin at some point in our life. I mean, really the path of just darkness and sin. It was worthless. It produced nothing but hardship and failure after failure. It produced nothing good. He's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like the other Gentiles who don't know who I am. He's saying, y'all are living like you don't know who I am. When Christians know Christ, we should be living like Christ. We should be walking and being the example. And we should look like him in some way. You know, when you have brothers and sisters, you can tell they're brothers and sisters. You can tell mamas and daughters, daddies and sons. I mean, they look, they reflect their family. You can tell you must be a Brown. You must be a Patterson. I mean, Shelly and Tiff look so much alike, it's crazy. They didn't even look alike, I didn't think. They really look alike as they gotten older, I think. And I'm like, my Lord, y'all can so tell your sisters. It's amazing. My dad's family, all my uncles and aunts, they all look, you can tell they're Lewis's. I mean, every one of them, just they look like, you can just tell. People's come to me before, don't even know me, says, your dad David Lewis? Yeah. Well, I worked with him when you just like you'd be his son. Yeah. I mean, that's how much. It's amazing. Shouldn't they say that about us? Are you one of them Jesus followers? Yeah. I thought so. You noticed? Yeah. Hallelujah. We should be thankful for that. We should reflect our Heavenly Father. And many Christians, professed Christians, aren't doing that. I'm not saying we're going to walk the perfect line, but we ought to be producing the fruit. Jesus says a tree is known by its fruits, right? Which means if I'm a Christian, people should be able to identify me as a Christian. Not an old withered up fig tree produces nothing. I ought to be identified as a believer. So Jesus is saying, don't be like the other Gentiles. Don't walk like they walk. You know better. They're having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, if you've been through raising teenagers, or you're going through it now, or you will be going through it, you will find out that for most cases, some kids, of course, are different levels than others, but as a whole, they are at that age very, you can't tell them anything, and you know nothing. And they blind themselves to hearing any truth from you because it cramps their style. Leave me alone, pops. This ain't the 1970s. Leave me alone. You don't understand. I know who I am. I've got together. Yeah. You got together like a broken jigsaw puzzle. Yeah, that's how together you got it. And they shut you out, and you don't know. It's like talking to that podium. Hey, podium. Hello? If that thing speaks, I'm out of here. I'm just saying. if y'all hear it speak, y'all need to get out of here. So that podium is not going to speak back to me. It's like talking to a brick wall. And so they're saying, you know, people have hardened their hearts to hearing the voice of God. You know, Brenda brought an article in. I read it yesterday. Did y'all see the Statesville commentary of the guy that talked about America repenting? It is pretty. Let me have that, Brenda. It's pretty bold, pretty bold. Now, I'm not a hell on fire preacher, and I wouldn't write this, but I agree with a lot of it. This was written in the paper yesterday. God will punish America if it doesn't repent, is the title. I want you to hear this, if I can read it. Let's see here, if I want to read all this. Congress is about to vote against the Iran deal, and Obama will veto this in order to cause the destruction of the United States. Now, this is a writer in the paper. Let me be clear. Israel is not in trouble. God will protect Israel, as explained in Revelations. However, he will destroy nations that betray the Holy Land. Let me get down here. When America's Antichrist spits in God's face and vetoes the objection to the Iran deal, that will be the final nail in our coffin. People who call themselves Christians need to start reading God's word and preaching his word. Here is the truth. Did anybody read this yesterday? No little kids in here, right? Okay. America has become the whore of Babylon and will be destroyed. You cannot be a Christian and be silent on the abominations being committed by the highest levels of our government and our people. Wake up, America. You will soon be punished for your abominations. While many of you are carrying on your normal day-to-day activities, some child in your town had his neck broken and his body parts were being sold for a profit. This is not acceptable. Quit condemning Hitler and the Nazis if you aren't doing everything in your power to stop the largest genocide in human history being taking place here in America. God will destroy the whore, America, if it does not repent. I quit teaching this P.S., which is politically correct, garbage, in church about how great Planned Parenthood, homosexuals, quit defending divorce, start preaching from the Bible, you're running out of time, Jesus at the door, da-da-da. If you do not think that God will avenge the death of his children, then you seriously need to evaluate your priorities and examine your faith. God will not be mocked. He will avenge the pure evil and stupid behavior of our government and population. The sins God punished Israel for 1,000 years ago are nowhere near as evil as the sins of our country. And I skipped over some of that, but this was in our Statesville paper yesterday. That's pretty brash, isn't it? Pretty bold. And like I said, some of that I skipped over because some of it's more, can be a little more personal view than maybe scripture, but you get the point. America has gotten to a point that we are seeing all of this sin all around us. And the world just going on. Millions and millions of children have been aborted since the early 70s. All them lies, you know, just gone. Endorsing people's behavior, saying it's okay. You're all, you know, Paul was saying, look, don't blind yourself to the truth. It's okay to be a Christian and say, you know what? Yeah, I think it's wrong. I mean, I've talked to folks in my office before and told them how I felt about things they were doing, their lifestyle. Some of them left the church. They didn't come back. That's okay. I mean, that's my job. I deal with that. I can't sit there and say, you know what? It's okay what you're doing. You want me to, yay, high five, jump rope, let's go. Yay, you're doing right. It can't work that way. And Paul was saying the Christians at Ephesus were living like the world. There was no distinctive difference. If you know Jesus, that Jesus ought to be seen in a way that others see you've been changed. It's okay to be different, and we should be proud to be different and not look like the stamp of the world and feel like we have to belong to something that isn't going to produce anything good really in our lives. The only thing that matters is what happens really when we leave here, because that's where our eternity is going to be spent. These are very short years on the earth. We can have fun and party and think we're missing out on life because, you know, Christians are so stiff and don't have any fun and blah, 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 blah. But there will be a point in a time and a day to where we're not going to be here no more. And then the real life begins. And what is that going to be like for us? So that was I'll give this back to you before I leave, Brendan. That was I read that yesterday. I'm like, man, a lot. I'll be very curious. There'll be some responses on this. I'll be curious what the responses will be. It was in yesterday's paper if you want to go back and try to find it and read the. I didn't read the whole article. I just kind of hit some of those highlights through there. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lasciviousness is lewdness. It's debauchery. It's such dark, evil sin that people aren't even ashamed of it anymore or repent of it. And aren't we seeing that? I mean, church, since this law has been passed about, you know, gays being able to marry legally, I've been noticing it's the landscape around here is looking different. I don't know if y'all have noticed that. It's been looking different. I've been meeting people out, and I'm seeing more and more couples, same sex. And yesterday I saw two or three, and honest to goodness, I thought they were men when I first went by them, because they took on such an image of the sin. Do you know you take on the form of your sin? The drunkard takes on the form of that sin. The drug addict takes form of that. Homosexual takes form of that. The wife beater takes form of that. We become the form of what we're serving and what's got us bound. And I understand it's a whole different world. I think about, you know, my parents' generation especially. You know, I know my grandma too, but you know, my parents' generation is, you know, sometimes I just think about them. The world that they grew up in, the world they see now. I bet they never thought. Gail, I bet you never thought when you were 25, 30 years old, you would see America the way it is now. I bet you never dreamed you'd be seeing what you're seeing. Never thought about it. Couldn't even comprehend it. Couldn't even fathom it. And here we are, and here's the kicker. It's like everybody's okay with it. I mean, not everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's like the world just keeps going, and, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, what's the big deal? You know, we're seeing a generation that is, have you seen where they have prescribed now legally oxycodone for children, 11 to 16? The FDA's approved oxycodone for 11 to 16-year-olds for pain management. What do you think they're going to create? Anybody guess two words, what they will create? Drug addicts and drug dealers, because you can get some money for some pills. And they're all around us being sold. I had a friend of mine I met for lunch this week. He had somebody trying to sell pills in the church parking lot after service Sunday. If I find that out, I won't be the little stupid James. There'll be an issue, I'll tell you that. 11 to 16-year-olds. You go train an 11-year-old to pop a pain pill. Oh, my gosh, what have we come to? And we're seeing that this is, you know, no big deal. We're seeing the marijuana thing spread across our nation. No big deal. It's a plant. It's just a plant. It's not a drug. Why you got to have it then? Why you got to have it? It's an hallucinative. It makes you high. It causes you to leave your normal senses and puts you in a different realm. That's called a drug, I think. I mean, honestly. But it's nothing wrong with it. No big deal. Let's just keep on. I'm going to tell you something. Mark my words, church. You can mark it down. This was said in this church, 2015. If America goes with the way of marijuana, like they've gone with the same-sex marriage, and it becomes where it's legal, you're going to see such a decline in the workforce. You're going to see a rise in crime. You're going to see, and I'm not, church, I'm telling you something. I'm not being naive about this. I'm not out in the boat. I've got experience with this I'm talking about right now. Okay, I know. You're going to see such a shift and a difference in this country. It's already happening. Go ahead, Joe. I saw that.
Homosexuality and stuff like that. And these students stood up and said, we're not doing it. I mean, that took some...
That did, some moxie there. Yes. And I saw that because they are Christian students and they made a stand, I'm not going to take that course. You can't make me take that course. So, very proud of them. And we have more to stand up like that. We'll see a shift. But we're facing some real cultural changes that's going to affect your grandchildren for the rest of their lives. Because I'm telling you, the devil is trying his best to just you know, get everybody in the mindset of everything's okay and everything's all right and, you know, it's not a big deal and we're supposed to love everybody and we shouldn't judge nobody and let's play patty cake bakers, man, roll up, throw it in the pan. I mean, there's got to be a stance to where we say, you know what? If I'm sold out to Christ, I've got to live like that. It may mean, guess what? Yeah, I got to give up some stuff. I got to follow God. It may cost me some things in the world. It may cost me some relationships. It may cost me some friends. It may put some persecution, a target on my back. But thank God, and these students that refused and stood up, God's going to honor that either privately or publicly or both, but God's going to honor that stance, I guarantee you. God honors his people when they refuse to bow the knee. And I'm telling you, we need to fight for our future. Fight it spiritually. We are not battling flesh and blood. We are battling spiritual wickedness in high places. We are battling principalities and powers of the air. We're fighting those demonic forces trying to invade our country, our children, our seed, our churches, to try to drift away into just no man land instead of realizing there is still the power of the Holy Spirit that's alive and well that can bring breakthrough and deliverance to all who will call upon his name. God still can break any stronghold if we'll listen. But we're blinding ourselves, like Paul says. They blinded their eyes. I don't want to see. No. I don't want to see what God... You know why they don't want to see? Because they know truth. They know they're wrong. And when they have to open their eyes to really face that, they don't want to face that. So it's easier to cower in the darkness than to come out into the light. But as long as we're in the darkness and we walk like we're in darkness, we're going to stumble and not clearly see our way and make many mistakes and fall. So he's trying to warn the church. Look what it says in 20, but you have not so learned Christ. I mean, he's saying you don't even really know Christ. If it be that you heard him, as have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the conduct, the behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The song Grandma sings best, I thought about that song when I read this verse. Best describes this verse, two coats. He says, you got to put off the old man. Why are you walking like you hadn't heard about Christ? Do you not know who Jesus is? You've been taught who he was. You've been taught how to follow him. You've been taught how to live. But you're living like the old man, not the new man. There ought to be a transformation as a Christian that we live differently. In such a way, the world takes notice. In such a way, they talk about you. And it may be good or bad. But I'm going to tell you, they will come to you in their time of need. I've had that happen so many times in the years. People come to me or call me because they say, I know you're a real Christian. I know you're a real Christian. I've had folks in this church, Grandma, tell me that they see God in you so much, and they know you're a godly woman, and they know your prayers get answered. They just know that because they see that in you. That's a testimony, and that should be our testimony. And see, our children need to see that behavior. Our children and grandchildren need to see that we're living what we preach. We're not just telling them one thing and living another. Because kids, for the most part, will mimic and copy the behavior of their parents. Now, not all of them, and sometimes there'll be a stray one. There'll be a black sheep in the family. And it may take a little longer for them to come back in the crowd. But they're going to form their ideology, their behavior patterns, their thinking. You heard Randy say Sunday morning, kids learn the most between 2 and 5 than any other age. And that is mind-boggling that they absorb all that information. And so that's why it's important our children are church. We don't wait till they're 12 years old and try to get them in church. We've missed the boat. We've got to get them in church when they're young, getting that seed planted. I was always in church. I was in church from the time I was born. And so it's made a difference in my life. That seed's been so deeply and early planted where I knew about God. But when we live for God, the world takes notice, and they see that. And our kids take notice, and they know, you know what? Man, you are a godly mama. You're a godly daddy. You're a godly grandma. You're a godly grandpa. You know, I may not live the way you want me to live, but I know you're the real deal. And so we can either walk around with blinders on, pretending nothing is wrong, or we can open our eyes and say, God, I don't want to follow the path the world's trying to lead me down. I need your Holy Spirit to help lead me down the right path. I'm telling you, there is so much temptation, so many traps the devil says how it sets up for us. You know, the Bible says give no place to the devil. It means opportunity. Don't give him an opportunity. That's why I'm a firm believer in this church. And a lot of people don't like this, and that's okay. It's not the Sunday morning crowd, so they'll be back Sunday morning. I'm a firm believer there's places. I'm talking to myself, talking to whoever. There are places that Christians shouldn't go, and there are just things Christians shouldn't do. Because of the opportunities and because of the things that I won't give you an example. She won't mind me sharing, so I'm very proud of her. My daughter Christian called us about a month ago. She was coming home, and some of her friends wanted to go to it was a bar, Mooresville Big Shots, or I think it was, or something, because they had karaoke. So they love karaoke, they will sing. And says, I really don't want to go. And I said, well, Christian, let me tell you this, it's a bar. It's not an Outback. It's a bar. And I know you say you're not going to drink and all that, and I believe that, but you're putting yourself in a very compromising situation. You're putting yourself in an environment that it's just there. And, you know, my advice is, you know, well, my advice is you're calling me to ask, so that's your advice. you know what ended up happening? She didn't go, and her friends didn't either. They said, well, you're not going. We won't go. They just hung out there and did something else. See, that's the power of positive influence. Chris, I kind of felt bad, but, you know, they just said, we'll hang out. I said, no, you know, they didn't go. They stayed with you, and, I mean, you influenced them that way. There's just places that we put ourselves where the devil has that opportunity. Because we, church, you know, let me give you an example. You may go to someone and say, I want you to really hear this, okay? You may go to someone and say, hey, buddy, don't worry if you drink a little bit. You know, that's not a big, you know, not a big deal to drink a few beers. You may not know they're about alcoholism. You may not know they're coming off a drug addiction. You may not know their wife's about left them because of it. So we got to be very careful in the advice we give people because you don't know where they're at. You know, some of you can drink a beer or not, and that's all it is. Great. But some of you are battling other issues, and if that happens, it's leading you to other issues and other issues and other issues. And so the point is, why do we put ourselves in positions as Christians that can bring no good? Let me ask y'all this. For all that say, oh, drinking a beer or two don't matter, how would y'all feel if you came in Outback one Saturday night and I got a big pitcher of beer on the table? Hey, Pastor Dane, hey. Boy, y'all wouldn't be the little sweet sheet. Nothing wrong with drinking a little bit, Pastor. Good for you. Salute. Nah, y'all be doing this. I ain't got my phone. You be in the corner getting my picture behind a plant. Send. That's my preacher drinking that beer. Y'all know you be like, oh my gosh. I'm giving my tithes and go buy beer. Oh. I mean, y'all would be just going crazy. So think about that. Now think about this. As a Christian, what's your light? You know the most important thing we have as a Christian is our light. Our light. So I'm just saying that one subject because that seems to be the thing that nobody cares about anymore. It's not a big deal. But it could be anything like that. Why are we placing ourselves in a position where our light as a Christian is diminished? You know, we went to the beach a few weeks ago, or a month. I don't know how long it's been. It was wonderful. I didn't want to come back. But anyway, we were there. And we took Taylor with us, Amanda's daughter. We took her for Ashley. First trip we'd ever had where all three kids didn't go on vacation. So our first trip with just one kid. Pretty good. And so I said, Ashley, I'm worried about you being a little lonely because you always had a brother and sister to hang out with. You know, so I said, we've never done this before in our lives because our vacation time has always been so personal. It's all been about family. But I said, you know, listen, if Taylor wants to go, why don't you call and see if she wants to go with us, you know. And so we're down there, and we're down at the pool, you know, about every day. I'm laying out getting my tan on, you know, just looking really, really good, you know. And I'm down at the pool, and they had a bar down there, of course, you know, where they have served burgers and, you know, alcohol and all that. Well, I love coconut. I love the pina colada flavor. And I've gotten virgin pina coladas before. You know, no alcohol, just a drink, just the coconut stuff. But you know what? They're serving them there, but I didn't do that, Amanda. I ain't told you this. I didn't order them because of my light in front of Taylor. Because I did not want Taylor seeing that drink thinking, he's telling me a story. I bet that really is alcohol. I could have told her all day long, Taylor, don't you know, darling, this is not any alcohol, no wine, beer, liquor, nothing in this thing. It's just coconut juice. But I didn't want to send a message that made it look bad in front of her. So I didn't get one. Just something that simple. Because the light was important to me. That I didn't want her mistaking that or going away in her head or texting Amanda. Guess what Preacher James is doing? I think it's called the Congo on top of a table. I'm not sure, but look at this. it's about the light. Preacher going wild. So anyway, the reason I'm saying this is because Paul is saying, look, you've learned about Christ. Don't walk like everybody else. Let me ask you this. Put it this way. If your light doesn't separate you, then what does? Makes you think, don't it? If your light don't separate you from anybody else, then what does? So, you know why people call us hypocrites? You know, everybody. Because we're on the table doing a Congo, so to speak. And they're like, you know, well, they go to church and look how they're living. They go to church and they do this. They go to church, they talk like that. They go to church and they tell those jokes. They go to church and they're doing this. They go to church, they sleep around. They go to church. And they're... What's the difference? There's got the light, church, the light. Now, I'm not, this is the word of God I'm reading. This ain't, you know, me. This is what Paul's trying to say. He says, you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, at salvation, a new man comes on, a new suit. You know, we're like Clark Kent before salvation. And after salvation, dun-dun-dun, we're changed, a new suit. We go from a nerdy nobody wants to go out with to everybody wants to fly with Superman. Man, I love Superman. I'm glad he's not a real person, not being in trouble. But that's how we should be. We go in the phone booth, you know, ourselves, and we come out changed. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Now, once again, I know, church, we're going to have bad seasons. We're going to still make mistakes. We're not going to always shine that light. But I'm talking about as a whole. If God is convicting you of something in your life, listen to that. Listen to that. It's God trying to talk to you to correct something. It's not God's threatening you with the wrath of hell. It's that he's trying to correct you to do something different because it's a stumbling block. Let me put it this way. If there's something in your life that you just can't do without, that you know is not right in God's eyes, is that not a stumbling block? If it's something you can't do without, or something you can't seem to shake, something you can't get rid of, something you keep going back to, oh, that well over and over and over, it's a stumbling block. Stumbling block for your growth and a stumbling block for those around you. So that's the importance of shining our light. That's the importance of living how God wants to live with that new man, created in righteousness and holiness. Verse 25. This is the next chapter. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Same book. It's the next chapter. Be you followers of God. Followers of God as dear children. The word followers translates into imitators. We should imitate God. Now think about some of our life choices as Christians we make. Would God go here? Would God do that? Would we follow God to that scene or that place? We can justify and try to validate our sins all we want, but it comes up short every time. Because there's really no excuse for it once we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. That means we're going to... You know, me and Melanie got married. We got married 23 years ago. You know what that means? That she's not supposed to sleep with anybody else but me. She can't follow other men around. I mean, she can follow them, but she can't sleep with them. I mean, you know, we became one. Our union in marriage became one. It's like our union in Christ should become one, which means now our lives together and only together is how it should be. When we go from being sinner to saint, so to speak, we're in union with Christ, which means all of a sudden we start following now what God wants, not what we want anymore, and not what the devil wants for us to follow. We follow him. Be imitators of Christ. We're going to wrap it up here. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be named among you as becometh saints. Paul is saying, once you say you're a follower of Christ, then this lifestyle should be gone. It means you leave it behind. It shouldn't be named. It shouldn't be mentioned. It shouldn't be, when they say Joe Brown, it shouldn't be old gambling, cussing, swearing, wife-beating Joe Brown no more. He's changed. It should be good old deacon, loving, humble, sweet, sharing, compassionate Joe Brown. It changes. Paul's saying, don't let him be named among you. As you become a saint, that stays behind. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you. Here it is. Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty, futile, worthless words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't let vain words, smooth-talking people, even the best intentions, sway you into going against what God has already called you to walk in. And it's easy. Don't listen to all those voices. Hear the voice of God. That's why this generation is so confused, because they're listening to vain words of people in power and authority and position and fame that are saying, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay, not a big deal, not a big deal, not a big deal. It should be a big deal. I said this before, and y'all know I am truly a loving, accepting pastor. I am. But the day that America declared that every state can legalize marriage, or change what they're doing, they change the definition of marriage, it should have been a day of mourning for this country. I don't care if you call yourself a liberal or a progressive or a 20-something or a hipster or a new generation or a whatever. Church, there's things that just transcend generations. Sin is sin. Two women and two men in a relationship together sexually is just as much a sin now in a politically correct world as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not changed. We can try to make it change. Oh, that's cool. Who cares? Everybody's doing it. It doesn't make it right. that everybody's doing it. And so it should have been a day of mourning, not a day of celebration. Now, since they've not changed, since they've changed the definition of marriage now, and it's no longer between one man and one woman, what's next down the line? Multiple partners. Bestiality. What's next? There's no definition anymore. It's been changed. And we think that's so far-fetched. Mark my words. There'll be people who want to marry their dogs, their horses. I mean, they'll want rights and benefits and us to pay for it. Me and Mr. Ed's getting married. I mean, are you serious? We think that's so far-fetched. But didn't we think it's far-fetched when this came out? I mean, my God. What about the pedophile, church? Let's think about that. Because here's what they're saying. People that are homosexuals are born with that gene. They're born with that nature. They've actually said that's their sexual preference, okay? What's the pedophile's argument then? My sexual orientation, my sexual presence is little kids. I can't help it. I was born that way. How can they be denied? Honestly, think about this. How can they be denied? That's not the same. You're talking about little kids. We're talking about two consenting, loving adults. It don't make sense. It doesn't match. It's not natural. The Bible speaks in Romans that men and women do unnatural things with each other. It's not natural. It's not how God intended. And so we've opened up this door now for just more stuff to come down the pike and more tolerance and more acceptance. And we'll see what happens with our future government and election. It'll be very interesting. Is that it, Jerry? I got three more verses on it. Look at this. Be not partakers with them. Don't partake with them. Don't go hang out with them. Don't do what they're doing. See, that's the danger. Here's the danger. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to sleep with nobody. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to go here. I like to dance. I'll go. I'm talking about if you're a Christian. If you're in the world, do what you want to do. But I'm talking about if you say I'm sold out to Christ. I told somebody the other day, I was talking to these people, and this woman was talking about she needs to meet a man. So I need me a man. So I think I'm going to go clubbing. I said, you ain't going to meet the right man in the club. Not the man God's got for you or not. There ain't no way. Understand something. If I was going to a club, you think I'm looking for commitment? I'm looking for one thing. Give me 2 hours tonight, baby. That's what I'm looking for. Come on, get real. I'm going to look for a wife, her in there shaking everything around, the music's going, got a mixed drink in her hand, spilling it because she's so drunk. Hey, baby, you want to marry me? Yeah. You a little hoochie? Are you serious? Really? I met my wife in Food Line. That's a lot better than a club. And I dated every girl at my church till I got to her. I tried to do what was right and stay in the confines of God. My home church, poor Mel, everybody I dated or went out with or tried to. Some of them shut the door. See, my cousin, I ain't quite that bad. I ain't from West Virginia. No West Virginia here tonight, right? Hey, that's going to come too, right? In fact, I seen a story about that. Why can't I marry my first cousin? Why is it legal to marry my first cousin? Man and woman, no definition of marriage. Why can't I marry my first cousin? And where's it going to stop? Anyway, so I told, can you imagine? Teeth, ears. Good gosh. Bless her heart. Yeah, she's my first cousin. Gee, I didn't know by looking at Tommy. But anyway, we're off topic. The point is this. Point is this: live differently. And if you're having a hard time with that, pray. Say, God, I do want to live differently. I want to be the light you call me to be. I say I profess you as Lord and Savior. I want to live that way. I want to reflect that so others see the glory of my Father. Because how can you help someone else when there's so many? Remember what Jesus said, if there's a beam in your eye, how can you get the mote out of your brother's eye? First, get the beam out of your own eye, then help. That's what he's talking about. If you've got all these stumbling blocks in your life, you're not going to be able to help anyone else to Christ. They got to know that you've been helped, number one, and you've been delivered. Because they're going to say this, well, you tell me about God, well, you still got your problem. I thought you said God can do anything. You're still bound. You still got strongholds. You still got addictions. You still got these things that you're trying to tell me God can help me with, but you're still bound. Let God set you free. Then you can set somebody else free. Live differently. We'll close out there. I know we're a little bit over. Live differently, church. what the Holy Spirit's all about. You say, I just can't do it. Well, you can't, but the Holy Spirit can have you live. I'm telling you, I've seen people's lives change. I mean, going back to Bob Shepherd, you know, I've seen, Pat talked to us Sunday after church. We sat under in a car together after lunch, and she's just talking about how she's so glad Bob walked in his church. And she said, you know, Bob is in heaven right now, James, because of this church. He's in heaven because of your messages, because he was an unbeliever, complete unbeliever. Pat said, everybody in Virginia knows about this church. So I'm telling you, Bob, everybody in this Salem, Roanoke area knows about Living Word Ministries. He has told everybody about you and Melanie and the church down there. Everybody knows about this church in Virginia. You just don't know. He talked to everybody he ran into, people at the restaurant, people he worked in the garage with up there, his home church, the church he got into up there. He told everybody about this church. Bob changed. He had a radical change. We should have a radical change if we're in Christ. Because my God, to know my sin's been removed, and now I'm no longer bound to be a slave to my sin, but I can be a servant unto his righteousness. What a difference. What a difference. Wow. All right. So I hope you've learned something tonight. Don't marry your horse and don't marry your first cousin. So, oh me. Everybody good tonight? Yes, Joe.